from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is a Tuesday morning. Good morning to all of you. It's the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today, but Aaron Mason, Brother Mace, fills in for Ursula. Good morning to you, Mace.
Good morning, G.
Oh, are you ready for today's show?
Boy, I am ready.
Good.
I'm fired up. I'm excited about what we're talking about. It's going to be good.
Coming up at 9:30, our very own Nicole Jennings, Cairo news reporter, will join us to give us an update on the renter from hell that happened down here in Tacoma. You don't want to miss the follow-up to that story. Good morning to you, Chef. You ready, brother?
Yes, sir.
Let's get to it. Let's get to Ursula's top news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
It is the question that we've been asking often during the pandemic, and that is, how well are students learning? And according to the state superintendent's office, the numbers are not good. Test scores have dropped for hundreds of thousands of kids in our state during the last 2 years, with the number of students able to meet standards in math falling by a full 20%. An additional 10% more students failed to meet English standards. And get this, only 30% of students in fourth grade and above were able to meet standards in math. That drops to 16 for students living in poverty. One more eye-popping stat, G. Only 46% of fourth graders met reading standards for their grade level.
Let's get to it. Standardized tests. Write this down. Take a picture. Screenshot it. I don't care what you do with it. These tests only determine which students are good at taking tests. They offer no meaningful measure of progress and have not improved student performance. Some of you are listening right now, and maybe, and here, bear with me, because I know that there's a lot of people that you want to keep things the same. Leave the test alone. Just because you test well does not point to the direction that you're going to go in school and in life. You can actually test terrible in the math portion and somehow, some way, become an engineer. You can also test terrible in the English portion and somehow become an English professor. My point to where I'm going with it, and I'll just simplify it. The test only tells you who is a good test taker. And I go from the times from when I was younger, my parents were able to afford for me to get the testing to go. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but able to go and be able to get better on your SAT or your ACT.
Yeah, like, and prep classes.
Yeah, and I was able to do the same for my kids. So the only thing that those classes did, it didn't give you more knowledge in English. It didn't give you more knowledge in math.
Right.
It just showed you how to test. This is what you're going to do. This is the beginning of it. This is what to look out for. So the whole standardized test, get rid of it.
Yeah. Albert Einstein was famously a terrible student. I mean, he got F's and stuff. And I'm pretty sure he was kind of smart. My girlfriend's father is a professor and a statistician. So he's real into math and he's real into education. Okay. And something he told me once was, the only statistic that you can pull from the SATs, from people taking the SATs, the only real correlation is the higher the score, the higher the probability that they have more income. So basically, if your parents do well, there's a higher chance of you scoring higher on the SATs. It doesn't really determine whether or not, like you said, you're going to be good in school or good at life. I don't know how anyone is doing this. I don't know how the students are doing this. I don't know how the parents are doing this. And I certainly don't know how the teachers are doing this. We have just completely upended education in this country, which is already, you know, having trouble breathing. And I know if it were me and I were a student today, I would have a real tough time trying to absorb all this information amid this chaos. It was real important for me to go to school, to be there, and to learn that way. It's astounding. These are bad numbers, man. 30% of fourth grade students meeting math standards.
This is what I wanted to do. And by the way, I just want to make sure I got this right so I can write this down. If a school has high test scores, what does that mean financially? Chef, you're smart. What does that mean financially for the school?
Usually I think they get more funding, but I also know in our state that they do target schools with low test scores for additional funding. But I gotta push back a little bit, G, because one, okay, we're not talking about SAT scores. We're not talking about ACTs. We're talking about the standardized state testing that, you know, every student in the state normally does.
Yes.
Now, what they're doing is they're not trying to get an accurate assessment of who's going to be successful in life or who could potentially be a great college student or a math professor. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is they're taking a snapshot of where kids are at right now.
Sure.
And I think that's important information to have. Now, whether you're deciding to punish a school based on a lack of good test scores, I don't really think that happens in our state right now. I think this is illuminating data. Because everyone has been in this sort of period of constant underlying crisis for 2 years. And yeah, it is very, very difficult to learn when there's chaos going on in your life. That's well documented. Yes. But people are getting through it day by day. What I want to know from here is, hey, how do you pick back these kids? How do you pick these kids back up? Because the next couple years, you have kids in 11th grade, you know, who can't meet the math scores, who can't meet the reading scores, etc. How are you going to get those kids ready in a year for college or for elsewhere? What I want to see from districts is a plan to address how to fix the problem, but I definitely don't want to just get rid of testing. That strikes me as the same logic as if you don't test, there are no cases.
Okay. All right. I want to just push back to you again on the testing. Is we all are different when it comes to this. Some of us, you have to add in the factor of anxiety. How some of us just don't test well. Mm-hmm. It is just as a matter of fact, as we're talking about this, I have a little bit of anxiety even thinking about testing, even thinking about the teacher walking up. Okay, make sure your number two pencil's sharpened. Make sure you have that to the side. And then they go and they sit down at the desk. And then all of us are looking as if we are a pet being told that we are allowed to eat. Okay, pick your pencils up. You can begin. I'm nauseous thinking about that because not all of us learn in that way. Not all of us are good in that way.
Yeah.
Speaking of tests, as of Saturday this last weekend, anyone with insurance should be able to get reimbursed for the cost of up to 8 rapid COVID tests per person. And for those of you without insurance or anyone who doesn't want to be reimbursed, you can register to have 4 tests per household mailed directly to you starting this Wednesday. If you want to know the website where to find those tests and register, it is covidtests.gov. That is plural covidtests.gov. G. Scott.
Yes, sir. Got that this morning. I think that this is some of the best news in the world. I know you guys, when we talk about COVID, is usually with a negative result, considering what we have gone through the last 22 months. It has been a lot of negativity in surrounding COVID. But this right here is exciting. I hit you guys up with it. I ordered 4 right away. No exaggeration. It took me at least about 30 to 45 seconds, and I had 4 on the way. I had a confirmation from USPS telling me, hey, they are on the way. 0 cost. Chef, did you order your 4?
Well, I did. Actually, you clued me into kind of a loophole, because if you go to that covidtests.gov site, what you will see, most of you will see, that is you can register starting this Wednesday. But you tipped me off that if you clear your cache or you go to an entirely new browser that you haven't used before, it actually lets you start registering now. But here's the bad news, G.
What?
USPS says that it'll take about 7 to 12 days for those to start shipping out. So they expect those to arrive by the end of January. January. And yep. as with all things free testing, like Joe Biden talked about and Governor Inslee talked about, mm-hmm. hey, look, IMHE at the UW says we are at our Omicron peak now. Do you know when every household needs tests? Now. They don't need them in 2 weeks. They need them now.
And is better than Nan. I understand where you're coming from. I love what you're trying to say. But with the four tests that's on the way to me right now, that's four tests. Do you know that there are some people that haven't even tested four times in the last 22 months? So the opportunity to be able to test four times, I know it's a little late, but I'm excited. Mace, your thought? I don't want to cut you off, brother.
No, I don't want to be the storm cloud here. I don't want to rain on your parade. It is good that this is happening, but all I can think is finally. This really took way, way, way too long. And when you're talking about recommendations to stay home and quarantine, and then how are you supposed to know when you're good to go? Like, you people need to have tests. That is a very important part of the, you know, fighting COVID strategy. And it's kind of appalling to me that it's taken this long. But let's part the clouds. But it's happened. It's here, and that is a good thing.
But real quick, there was no need to rain on this topic. And let me tell you why there was no need to rain on this. You and Chef have blown me away. I have spent the last month-ish absolutely going off on this federal administration and how slow they have been with testing.
Yeah, it's appalling.
I've been doing that. Our listeners are tired of me doing that. I am trying to give the positive side of things. And here's the positive. And here's the sun. And here is what we have to look forward to. No, those tests aren't coming here right away, but they're coming. Mm-hmm. I was able to order four. Each person in your household is able to order four. So in my household right now, we have eight that's going to be coming to our household. That's eight tests to be able to do. That's exciting. And so I'm not going to let you guys rain on the parade. And if you guys do, I got my umbrella on and my rain suit, because like this is good news right here.
Mm-hmm.
Move on.
Oh, man, those potholes. Once the snow finally melted, drivers around the region discovered a brand new moonscape of craters on city streets. But it is better in some streets and cities than others. The Seattle Times notes that Seattle has to fix roughly four times as many potholes each year as Bellevue. And 2022 is set to be a banner year. SDOT says that they fixed 85% of potholes reported in 2021 within three days. And if there is a pothole near you, you can flag it with the city's Find It, Fix It app.
You know... In regards to the potholes, I can only speak from growing up and living in Chicago, right? And that's my comparison. Are potholes bad all over the country? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are potholes in the Seattle area, Tacoma, all through the Pacific Northwest, do they compare to what I've seen in potholes in Chicago coming up? Are you kidding me? You're talking about where the snow and the salt is on the ground. And then so by the time the spring comes in February, when March and April hits, the road construction hasn't happened to fill in those potholes. Disaster. So, yes, I have been seeing some doozies. Mace, I know you had a story of some doozies.
Yeah, I was. So I have a friend who lives at a corner of a pretty popular street. And after, see, I assume people know this, but just in case, like, the reason potholes, I think, are so bad right now is because when we had that snow and ice stretch, there was melting and then refreezing. Uh-huh. And so when water freezes, it expands, which is really a weird thing. And so it gets in the little cracks wet and then freezes and blows up the pothole. So I'm sitting in my friend's house and we're just hearing that, like, that clip Chef played.
Bam!
I heard like six of those in an hour by this street. And so he used the Find It, Fix It app He had never used it before, got it, reported it. And apparently on the app, you can see how many other people reported whatever it is. Maybe a street light's out or there's a pothole. And he said normally there's maybe one or two. And this particular pothole had like 12. It was bad, never, man. There were just tow trucks sitting there, just like tire repair guys just sitting there.
I never knew about this. What's the app? What is it again?
Find It, Fix It.
Find It, Fix It.
Yeah, it's an SDOT app.
I'm about to just drive around, find it, fix it, bam.
Dude, it's
find
great. It, fix it, bam. You're like a crappy superhero.
Yeah, gee, pothole hero.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting things I found in this article, because I didn't know this was a thing, quote, Seattle drivers filed 200 claims for damages related to potholes in 2021, and the city paid out 80%. Did either of you have any clue that if you blew a tire or damaged your axle or something, you could actually file a claim with the city?
No.
Yes, I did know that. I did know that. I'm not going to lie. I've never messed up my wheel. I mean, I've hit my wheel and I'm like, ooh, that's probably the worst feeling is when you hit it. It's almost like stubbing your toe. It's like, oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. Oh, and then 20 seconds later, you feel it. Well, in the case of when you hit that pothole, you're like, ooh, and then you go to pull into that gas station, you're like, please, please, please. And you go to look, you're like, whew, that was close. I thought that was going to be a big one. But, yeah, the pothole situation is getting a little bit rough, no doubt about it.
And Aaron Mason, before we get out of here,
yep.
You are right. It is so weird that when water freezes, it expands.
Yeah.
How do magnets work anyways?
It's miracles, bro.
Scientist Aaron Mason at work over there.
That's right. I'm a scientist.
I can
tell you right. We got three today. Do you think Ursula's going to give us credit?
As long as people quit snitching. You know what I mean?
You got snitches on to Ursula?
Oh, yes!
People rat you out when she's gone?
What? All the time, bro. Oh,
well, she's on vacation. She gets the emails.
Yeah, G.
Leave
G was off the G was off the chain today. You should have heard him. He wasn't nice. You know, Ursula keeps everybody really nice.
And yeah, yeah.
And by the way, hearing the two of you talk, like that little deal you just did, talking about water and freezing and expanding, mm-hmm. and then the magnets. Dude, I would have never hung out with you guys in high school. I would have never hung out with you guys.
Cat.
But, if there was a project, a project that needed
that's
to be
right.
done.
A little group project.
You guys would be my friends. And matter of fact, I would be the guy be like, hey, what y'all need? You need some food?
Yeah, right,
what you need?
Right.
What you need? Yeah. I got you. I'd make sure you get all that. You guys go to the coolest parties.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We go to all that.
Yeah.
We each
bring our own unique skills to the table.
Absolutely.
I'm a good test taker.
Hey, coming up next, Nicole Jennings, Kairos radio news reporter, will join us to give an update on a renter from hell. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but that's the only way I can explain to you what this renter has gone through. Stick around. We do that next. Gene Ursula with Mace. It is the G and Ursula Show. Hardballing. It's the new dating trend. We will talk about that at 9:45 on We Need to Talk. We'll do that then. But right now, what does it take to get a nightmare renter evicted in the middle of a pandemic? Well, Cairo News Radio's Nicole Jennings joins us now. Good morning to you, Nicole.
Good morning.
Okay, take us from all the way to the top, from the beginning, and then where we are right now, please.
Okay, yeah. So for listeners who maybe might not remember, because this was back in October, this is a Tacoma woman named Robin Kelly who had a tenant. He started out as a great tenant for a couple years, always paid his rent on time, followed the rules. And then all of a sudden he broke dozens of rules of the lease. He basically destroyed the house, has destroyed furniture, walls, has put so much trash and junk in the yard that it looks like an episode of Hoarders from the photos that I've seen. Mm-hmm. It's essentially the entire yard and driveway are full. The garage door can't close. He's destroyed the yard itself, big ruts in the yard, has done some dangerous things with fire. Neighbors have called 911 over it. So has overall been a dangerous neighbor and a dangerous tenant to have. And she has tried to get him to leave on many occasions and he's refused to go. So that the last time that I had talked on the show about this, she was at her wit's end. The city had declared the house a public nuisance. The city showed up last fall to clean it up, basically forcibly clean it all up, clear out the trash. But the tenant made the situation so unsafe that the city of Tacoma told me they had to tell everyone to back off and they wouldn't be returning to the property. It was just too unsafe. Wow. They didn't want to put their employees in that situation. So at that point, the homeowner, Robin, was on her own, essentially, to deal with this unsafe situation. I guess the nice thing that the city did was didn't end up charging her the public nuisance fee that you would normally have to pay, $250 fee, but it was on her to find a lawyer who could take care of the situation. And that's what the city had told me at the time, that a homeowner in that situation can hire a lawyer to proceed with an eviction, and they would usually be successful, but yeah, it's on you to get an attorney. So that's what she did, and I talked to her yesterday and have an update that this tenant will be evicted in the next couple of weeks. She got the lawyer, they've got the eviction order and everything, and if he doesn't go peacefully, she's in contact with the Pierce County Sheriff's Department, and they will be on hand to escort him and offer him any services that he might need as well, because it sounds like maybe some mental health services might be a good idea in this case. And it's just it's a sad story all around, because this guy clearly needs services. I'm not dancing over the fact that he's getting evicted, but at the same time, he has taken her house hostage, essentially, and made it made her property a place that she's too scared to set foot on.
So I want to make sure I got this right. So the city, nobody can do anything for at first. And they said, hey, you need to go out there and get an attorney, which she has to pay for. Right.
Right.
So she pays for the attorney. The attorney is able to take this through the court system. And now they have an eviction as set up. My question is, what is it that attorney was able to display or show to the courts that would finally make an eviction happen? Like, what's the secret sauce?
It's the paperwork of it. I believe if you get a court ordered eviction, you basically need an attorney, right? I think because the attorney is the one who's able to word everything just perfectly and prove why the eviction is needed. And I don't know.
See where I'm going, right?
I'm not well versed in legally, so I wouldn't trust myself to apply to the court.
Mace, go ahead.
Well, I see where you're going. It's any situation when it involves the courts. If you can afford a good lawyer, you can probably get things to go your way. And if you can't, maybe not. Is it true, Nicole, that this tenant didn't pay rent for a year also, but then Kelly was like cool about it?
Yeah, he wasn't paying rent, but because of the pandemic and everything, and he was out of work, she told me, honestly, that was the least of her worries. She didn't really care either way that he wasn't paying rent. She cared so much more that he was destroying the property. And he did apply for rental assistance, and she has gotten some of that, but she said that honestly, she wouldn't care if he paid it all back and he paid rent every month, she would still want him out because he's completely vandalized the place.
Yeah, which according to your article, her grandparents bought back in the 60s.
Yeah, it's so sad. They bought it in the 60s, and she was so proud that as a single woman in the 80s, she was able to buy it from them. So it was this house that she had made her own, that she was proud of, and she said it was a really adorable little house before he just went on a rampage.
did she happen to say what her plans are moving forward?
Well, originally she had wanted to either leave the house to her kids or sell it. But I think at this point, I mean, because she's going to have to pay for all the junk removal and fixing everything. I mean, I wonder if the house is, if she'll just need to sell it for the lowest. She told me that at the moment she would just be able to sell it to the lowest bidder, basically, because it's completely trashed. And if she wanted to get it nice again, oh gosh, I don't know how much that would cost, but... Yeah.
Nicole Jennings, Cairo News Radio news reporter, thank you so much for your work and your efforts, and we appreciate you taking the time to come on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, that is Nicole Jennings. You know, Mace, before we get out of here, I just want to say the frustration that I have. I'm not even a part of that story.
Yeah.
And the frustration that I have with that story, it bothers me. Because the right thing should have been done without the landlord having to dig into their pocket and pay for a lawyer.
Yeah.
Does anybody not see what's wrong with that system?
Yeah. You're not wrong. Also the thing that really sticks with me is how this guy was an ideal tenant for 5 years, and then something happened, and he snapped and turned into like the worst tenant of all time. So that's upsetting. There's like no winners here. I mean, it's a good resolution for her, I guess, as good as it can be, but just sad.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, hardballing is now a new dating trend. Mm. I'm glad Ursula's not here, because Ursula does not like us talking about any of the dating trends.
She does like thinking about texting girls for her sons, though.
Hey, Nick, somebody's going to snitch on you.
Somebody call me Nasty Nick or something like that on text. Yeah. I don't care.
All right. We discuss that next. Gene Ursula, with me. Pop-Tarts, Hamburger Helper, and President Joe Biden. We'll explain that next in the top three things that you need to know at 10. Brother Mace,
yeah.
We need to talk.
It's not Corn Pop and President Joe Biden.
Oh.
That's my favorite story of all time.
You think he was lying?
You, what? You think? I don't know if he believed what he was saying. That's possible.
No, if you asked him to tell that story, hey, Joe Biden, tell me that story again.
Yeah.
I promise you.
You're getting a different story.
You ever had that family member that every time they tell that one story, it changes,
yep.
The characters changes, new members a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the Corn Pop story. You know that thing. Matter of fact, his name won't even be Corn Pop no more.
Nobody over the age of 70 tells a story that's even close to 100% true.
No.
Every time it's like they run faster, they jump higher.
Come on, man.
Back in my day, we walked 50 miles both ways. Okay,
that's
let's
right.
get to it. We need to talk Mace. What we got?
Yeah, so this dating term, there's a new one. Unlike a lot of the other dating terms, this doesn't seem to be a horrible thing. It's actually kind of... I think a good thing that could potentially apply to much more than just dating. It's called hardballing, and it's defined as being clear about your expectations of a relationship. You know, whether you want a serious long term thing or a casual fling. It's, you know, playing hardball. You're not messing around. That is a good idea. It's always good to be upfront with people about your needs and what you want and be intentional about things. I wouldn't necessarily come out on a first date like guns a-blazing, laying out your syllabus. That sounds like an awful conversation. But a good thing to do. The thing that gets me, G, is these terms. I don't know if I'm just old manning here or if you feel this way, but like, why can't we just call it being upfront or being direct? Why do we have to put a dumb name on everything? It makes me insane. So we have this article, and I'm looking through the article, and there are six. It's a short article in the HuffPost. There are six idiotic dating terms in this article, and so I want to ask you if you think you know what they are.
Okay, go ahead.
Chef, you can chime in, too. The first one is, I think, the most obvious, ghosting.
Yes, we know that one.
Okay, that's when someone just disappears and never talks to you again. Number two, mosting.
Oh, that's when you promise, like, hey, you know what? I want the world. I want to take you here. I want to take you there. I want to take you everywhere. And you promise all of those things, mm-hmm. and then you ghost them.
That's right.
So you promised them the most,
right.
but you ended up being a ghost.
Come on.
Come on, that sounded like a well-rehearsed.
Yeah, I like it.
Like you've given that before.
Number three, submarining.
No.
That sounds like when you purposely, like, I just need, I want this to be done, so let me sabotage this and let me do and say the dumbest things. Like, hey, I'll be to pick you up at 5 and actually don't show up.
That's not a bad guess.
Like tanking yourself, it sounds like.
Yeah, right. No, it's submarining is when it's kind of like a ghost, except you pop up like a few months later. You know, so it's like a submarine. You go under for a couple months and then you pop back up.
Ooh, you're like, hey, done that one.
I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Do you know what orbiting is?
Well, you know, you try to circle around the block, checking things out.
Going around the world.
You're not really saying anything hard hitting. You're just kind of beating around the bush, kind of keeping that in the orbit, keeping that in space, holding it there while you're doing other things.
I think they called that the friend zone back in the day.
Yeah, okay. All right. You guys are orbiting the actual definition. I'm going to give it to you, G. Someone who orbits doesn't make like any real meaningful contact again, but they kind of like stalk you on social media. So they're in your orbit, but they're not really, you know, talking to you.
Okay.
Okay, number 5, breadcrumbing.
Okay, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
You're just nibbling at the conversation. Maybe you're just like just creeping into it. I don't know.
All right. You're on the right track. This is like if a potential special friend kind of keeps the online conversation going like sporadically, but never really wants to go out on a date and never really like disappears or ghosts entirely. They just give you just a little breadcrumb here and there, just enough to keep you engaged, but doesn't actually like have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, which apparently I guess a lot of the kids are doing. And finally, number 6, situationship. Any ideas?
Well, go ahead, just answer. Go ahead.
It's like a convenient relationship. You don't have put traditional labels on it, boyfriend, girlfriend, and you don't really define like a commitment, like we're not going to see other people. You're just kind of, you know, because of the situation you're in, this is your relationship. And so,
yeah, you have to pay rent.
Yeah,
and you need to figure out a way to do that. And sharing a bedroom with someone is pretty economical, it turns out.
Well, yes, that's exactly it. Yeah, 100%.
Well, yo, can I just say on hardballing, man, you're right, that is honesty, but I don't think a lot of people really know what they want when they're dating. They might say they want something, but then they end up with another. Like my wife, who said she only wanted to be friends.
I learned a few new terms in this segment.
Yeah.
This segment wasn't long enough. I have so many things to say. Ugh. But good stuff, Mace. Good stuff. Hey, coming up next in the top 3 things you need to know. These are the top 3 things you need to know. Pop-Tarts, Hamburger Helper, and President Joe Biden. I'll explain what those 3 things mean next. G and Ursula with Mace.